Hi, my name is Nicole Cromwell, and today is September 22nd, 2022. I'm in Carmel by the Sea, California, and I'm excited to share my story. I've been a nurse for 25 years and working at Stanford for 20 years. I've worked in oncology, the emergency department, the intensive care unit. I was a flight nurse. I was on the critical care response team, a little bit of time in the radiology department, and now I work in the medical ICU. So I wanted to share my story about a patient I was caring for about 8 years ago in the intensive care unit. And her name was Amy. She was battling cancer. And Amy was intubated and sedated, so she had a breathing tube. She couldn't communicate with us, but I wanted to get to know Amy by way of her family. And I wanted to show our colleagues that Amy was more than just someone with cancer. She had a life, she had a family, she had hobbies, all the things that we tend not to focus on because we are usually just too busy to do that. So I started asking Amy's family to tell me about her. I found out she was an artist. She loved to draw. She loved to paint. She loved to find hearts in nature. And Amy was going to be staying with us in this particular room to protect her from infection. So I asked her family to bring Amy's artwork in, since she was an artist, to decorate the walls and show everyone how talented she was. And we were all very hopeful for Amy's recovery. And so we wanted her to see her artwork when she woke up. And soon after, I encouraged them, they brought everything in, and her room was just plastered with all of her artwork. And then I asked them to bring photos of Amy when she was healthy, just so that we could see what we were getting her back to, because it makes such a difference for the whole team just to know, okay, this is what. Instead of just being the patient in the bed, we can see them when they're thriving. And so I always try to do that with families, because I really think it makes a difference for everyone that enters the room. So after about a week or so, you could tell everyone going into Amy's room was just amazed at the artwork, and we all had even more of a personal connection and investment into trying to get Amy better. So it just made a huge difference. So then, a while later, when Amy lost her battle, it really hit her nurses hard. And I wanted to do something to honor Amy's memory. So I arranged for 14 of Amy's nurses to, and even our amazing manager came with us. We attended an art night. We created, we laughed, we cried, we honored Amy, and we had a great time. And then after that night, I realized something was sparked in me. I had never painted before. My father was an artist, my grandmother was an artist, but it was never anything that I thought I could ever do. So I never explored that side of me. But I started attending paint and sip nights, finding really basic courses through the internet, anything I could find to learn more about painting. And so I started taking workshops, and I set up a home studio and just absorb anything I could about painting. And it was just opening up a whole new world for me, and I was really enjoying it. So a couple of years later, a friend encouraged me to apply to a local art show because I had been sort of sharing a little bit of my artwork online and getting some really positive feedback. So it felt really vulnerable, but I did it. And right away, I sold three paintings to a friend who best saw them on Facebook. And I thought, wow, I can actually make a living from this. So fast forward to today, and I've been able to transition to a full-time artist and part-time ICU nurse. And I have an art studio in Carmel by the Sea. I commute from Carmel to Stanford, and it works out perfectly. I've been in several art shows. I've won awards for my art, one from the San Diego Museum of Art and one from the Los Gatos Museum of Art. And I've created two giant fiberglass hearts for the city of Carmel. And I have a thriving art practice. And something I'm really proud of as well is that I'm going to be on the cover of the Critical Care Nursing magazine. And I submitted my artwork and they chose two. So those will be published very soon. Super proud of that. And my ultimate goal has always been to share what I've done with my colleagues. I know that so many people are struggling and I want to help in my own way, in my own small way. And so I've created an online art course for healthcare workers because I know it's helped save me from burnout and exhaustion and has transformed my life. And so many people are struggling. And so that's kind of my story. And I know Amy would approve and be really happy to hear this.
Thank you for sharing that, Amy. This is Deanna Beyer. And I have some questions. Just I'd love to learn a little bit more about kind of how you got into nursing to start with and what it's, I guess, how that connection has played into kind of your artwork and what you do now.
I got into, you know, it was kind of random how I got into nursing. I don't have one of those great stories of inspiration, but I was just sort of searching for some sort of career path, and a friend of mine got into nursing and I thought, well, I can do that. And I just went to nursing school and thought, wow, I'm going to be a flight nurse. And so I was hired in oncology, which has sort of come full circle because I think I could probably do that now. But in the beginning of my career, I started in oncology, and then I just knew I wanted to be a flight nurse. So I did everything I could do to do that. And so I got hired in the local ER down here in Monterey. And then I got a job up at Stanford and did everything I could because I was bound and determined. And then I got the job as a flight nurse and did that for about a year and a half. And I absolutely loved it. But the night shifts weren't for me. So back to the ICU, and then just I was on the critical care response team, and I loved that as well. But then COVID hit, and some things happened at work, and was assaulted by a patient, and knew that I needed to step back and care for myself better. So that's when I went to radiology for a year, and then I realized I missed being at the bedside. I love the connections that I make with my patients and their families and my coworkers. And I wanted to be back into that. And although I couldn't do that full time, I do it 2 days a week now. And that works perfectly for me because I can do my art and my days off and fill my cup and be able to come back to work. So I just love the connections. I think everybody's got a story, and you know, when we can take the time to learn their stories, it's good for them. It's good for us. So that's why I love it.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about what happened with you, and I'm glad that you were able to take the time to care for yourself and get to this new place where you're able to do a little bit of both of what you love and also help your colleagues who are in healthcare kind of find something to nurture their soul as well. And yeah, just find an outlet.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jillian, did you have any questions you'd like to ask Nicole?
Sorry, I had to unmute myself. This is Jillian Kumagai. So Nicole, it was really just so beautiful and moving to hear what you just shared with us. And I was wondering if you could talk more. So you shared about, you know, the impact of bringing Amy's artwork into the room. And now you just talked about how, you know, the importance of sharing people's stories and hearing their stories. And I'm just curious, has that always been part of your practice in nursing, or is that something that kind of developed over time? And would just love to hear more about the impact of that, or just how other people might do that as they work with patients and families.
Yes, I have always kind of done that. I one thing I do like to do every once in a while, and I think it's been done at Stanford a few times, but I will sit down with a family member and the patient if they can talk to me, and just ask them to tell me a little bit about themselves. And what I'll do is I'll just take some notes, and we'll keep it kind of brief to one page, and then I'll go out and print that up on a piece of paper with their permission and hang it above the bed, because everybody coming in can read their story and know a little bit about, you know, hi, my name is so-and-so, and these are the things that are really important to me. This is what I'm looking forward to doing when I get out of here. Please address me by my first name or my last name, whatever they prefer. And I love doing that. And I always try to do that because I feel like it makes such a difference. And I do that with my own family members when they're in the hospital, because I think, like I said, you know, everybody's got a story, and I think it's so important to recognize people for who they are and meet them where they are. And my passion, even though I'm an ICU nurse, my passion is palliative care. And that I think they're the greatest team in the whole hospital. And I think everybody that's in there needs a palliative advocate with them, because, you know, there's the misconception that palliative is end of life, and it's so not. It's about, I like to explain that palliative is quality of life. And that's what we're all supposed to be here for, is to improve people's quality of life. And, you know, understanding that we have to meet them where they are, and that, you know, just because we think they should do this one thing, that's not necessarily what they think and what they want. And so I just feel like to humanize them more like that and find out their stories is so important. And I love doing that.
Thank you. And thank you for also, I was going to, as you mentioned palliative care, I was going to ask if you could just kind of expand on that, because there is so much misunderstanding about the difference between palliative and hospice. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, that's really great to hear the way you described it. I also have a follow-up question. So you had mentioned that both the fiberglass hearts that you've created, and that Amy was always looking to find hearts in nature, which was just really a beautiful image to me. So I don't know if there's anything more you can share about that, either about what that looked like for Amy, or what that was like for you then to be able to create these fiberglass hearts, and just a little bit more about that.
I remember, well, Amy had a Facebook page dedicated to her memory, and her friends would always post when they found hearts in nature. And I remember her family telling me about that and how she would always look for them. And I think, you know, I think the more you look for these things, the more you find them. Mm-hmm. And so, that's a powerful connection that we share, because I love doing that as well. The hearts were... I've done it 2 years in a row now. The hearts were started by the city of Carmel for a leadership project, similar to the ones you see in San Francisco, but we were using local artists. So last year I applied for it and I was chosen to paint it. And it's just so much fun. And then this year there was only a few of them. And so I was chosen again. And I collaborated with another artist to paint one, and I painted the ocean on ours, because again, like, the ocean is just such a healing energy, and I'm so connected to the ocean on so many levels. And I'm so fortunate enough to live about 3 blocks from the ocean. So every day I'm inspired by it, and my art studio has a view of the ocean. So it's ever present in my world. But it's just got such a healing power. And, you know, I'm a healer. We're healers in the healthcare field. And I have been doing some research about why, you know, healing is so art and it's so healing. And because it forces you to create a connection between your mind and your body while you create. And you can just go into a zone, and everything that you're not all your stresses, but it just creates a space to release all those stressors, and gives you a conscious break from all the stressful things going on, and it lets your brain and your body rest for a moment just to, and it's so amazing because it allows you just to refocus. Like I've been doing a bunch of floral artwork because for an upcoming show, and I was just getting overwhelmed with all the colors and the brightness of all the energy of the colors. And I thought, I just need to calm this down because I was getting stuck in that. And so then I just took two canvases and I did some ocean art, and it calmed my mind enough so I could sort of reset my brain and go back into the florals because I have a deadline on those. But art's just so incredibly healing. There's studies showing that being creative increases your dopamine levels and it decreases your stress hormones, your cortisol levels. And so this is real. And sometimes it's hard to explain how that happens. You're just in it. And I love being in it. I can just zone out for hours in my studio. And it's so funny, there's no mistakes in painting. So everything that I paint that kind of turns out to be disaster, I learn from it, and I can, it just becomes another layer of my artwork. And I love that because that's how you learn. And that's kind of how life is, right? You know, everything you're doing is just one more layer of life. And we learn from our mistakes and our successes, our failures, all of it. So I think I went off a little bit on the question, but I wanted to share all that.
No, that's really lovely to hear. And actually it was just as you said, there are no mistakes in painting. I was thinking about how you said, you know, you've created this online class for healthcare workers. And I was thinking, well, how would you convince somebody like me who feels like they can't draw a stick figure, which would be confirmed by others. And yet I do know how important and it is to just express, like, I'll just speak for myself, express myself in creative ways or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then I would feel this barrier, like, oh no, you're going to see my stick figure and that's going to be too embarrassing and whatever. So it's really lovely to hear that, you know, the idea of no mistakes in painting and just, you know, how that of course does apply to so much in our lives. But I would also love to know more about the online class, like, you know, just what that looks like and kind of maybe how you can, or how people can kind of get over that barrier. Mm-hmm. I imagine I'm not completely alone in that. So to even make the step of thinking, oh no, I can do this, you know, so I would love if you right. could talk about that a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, people approach me and say, oh, can you paint my dog? Or can you paint this, you know, my backyard? And I'm like, oh, absolutely not. I cannot, unless you want your dog to look like a stick figure. No, I cannot. And, you know, I guess with enough practice, if I really wanted to, I could figure that out. But that's not what I want to do. And I think most people are like that. And so for me, I even struggle with abstracts, like straight abstract. I'm getting better at it, but just it takes time. But it's for me, learning about colors and noticing things in art in the world. And like I do abstract oceans, I do abstract landscapes, and you can see that it's that, but it's not a perfect picture of the ocean or a perfect picture of trees and all of that. And then the florals are just, I couldn't draw a perfect flower. I don't really aspire to. It's just bringing the colors together to kind of look like a floral. And so that's what I'm teaching. It's all about, my course is pretty basic because I don't want to overwhelm anybody. And there are so many avenues that you can take with this. I mean, a part of the course is looking at different artists. I mean, there's Jackson Pollock, who's all splatter art, and that's art. And so it's whatever you want to make of it. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about creating something identifiable or a masterpiece. It's just, it's about creating and just using that part of your brain to disconnect and decrease your stress and help with burnout, all of that. And it's funny, one of my mentors tells me, you know, Nicole, you have 1,000 finished paintings underneath that one that you put out, because I don't even recognize sometimes when they're finished. And I'll take photos and I'll go back and think, I should have kept that. Why did I cover that up? That was amazing. But then, you know what, it's just another layer and just another piece of the puzzle. So, and I want people to understand that and be okay with that. And like some paintings, I'll paint with my hands, the whole thing. I don't even use brushes. And so you can, and sometimes I'll just take pieces of paper and sort of smudge them. There's just so many different kinds of art you can create. And I love tapping into that and sharing it.
Thank you.
And I do have a website, and that's where you can find out all about my classes.
Great, thank you.
Jillian, anything else you'd like to ask Nicole?
I am thinking.
I answered all of that correctly. Okay.
Oh, there's no
it's just
funny.
I just touched on everything you asked.
No, that's great. Deanna, do you want to pause for a minute? Because I
sure.
I just want to.
This is Deanna Beyer. Nicole, it has just been really meaningful for you to share what you've shared with us today on this recording, and what you're doing, both, I think, learning more about the patients that you work with and their families has been really special to hear, and also just how you have transitioned to kind of this other part of kind of the artistic piece that really brings you peace and is an outlet for the work that you do has just been a really beautiful story. It's been so nice to learn about you as a person as well, and as a nurse, and just this wonderful support that you bring to others in healthcare who might want to tap into their creative side as well. And so thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Thank you. Yeah, I know there's so many nurses are leaving the profession, and not many get to the 25-year mark. And I think that all of the healthcare workers need to figure out how to get balance mentally, emotionally, physically. This is hard work. And I think balance is so important, and I've been fortunate enough to find my balance in painting. And sometimes, you know, even and that gets tipped, and it's too much art, and I have to shift and realize that I need a personal life too. But it's so important for all of us to keep our healthcare force healthy and working, and able to come back and care for our patients in meaningful ways. So I'm excited to share that with my colleagues.
This is Jillian. Thank you so much, Nicole. I'm so moved by everything that you have shared with us. You know, the impact that Amy had on your life, how art has helped you find some of the balance, the importance of, you know, hearing other people's stories, the importance of knowing the stories of, you know, patients and families who we work with. So it's really just beautiful to hear all this. And I look forward to continuing this conversation.
Thank you.